Hello, Lakeview family. It's so good to join you this morning for worship as we continue in our series on the Lord's Prayer. The part of the prayer that I get to offer some thoughts on is the section where it says, "On earth as it is in heaven." And when I think about this idea of heaven, it's something that I think I long for right now. It's something that I can use a little bit of right now. I don't know about you, but if heaven is a place absent of death, disease, and dirty air, I could use a little bit of that right now. If heaven is a realm in which there's neither poverty of spirit nor unbridled power, I could get used to that. If heaven has no room for injustice or racism or the American caste system, I say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Many of us, I think, are feeling the weight of all the things that are going on in our world. And we either want to escape to heaven or escape to our happy place. Every night, Carol and I have our own happy place, or our happy hour, as we call it. Not necessarily with libations, although sometimes we do, but for sure with Netflix. And we escape to Netflix land, escaping our current realities just for a moment while we delve into another reality. Last week, I had one of those moments where I just wanted to escape. And it wasn't just about going off to Netflix land. I really did want to escape. I don't know what it was with me. I don't know what was going on. But normal kid things were just grinding at me. And by the time that Carol came home, she could tell from my affect and my mood that our two precious children, and if you know them, you know how I love my children and how lovable they are and how precious they are. But these two precious children were being just a little extra special that night. It wasn't them, it was me. And I don't think it was just me. I think it had to do with a lot of things around me and in this world. Maybe it was the stress that I was feeling about Ruth Bader Ginsburg's passing and the ensuing political showdown and milieu that we are about to experience in our American politics. Not to mention the concern that I have for the elections and whatever the results may be and however we get there. Maybe it was about COVID and the COVID-related U.S. death toll that rose to over 200,000 and being stressed about managing my family's risks and my own risks and the risk to my children and to my loved ones. Maybe it's all of it. Sometimes I pray under my breath, can this just be over? Can I escape? Can we go and be in a different reality? Can I get a little bit of heaven just about now? So when we come to this part of the prayer, what we often think and what we may be tempted to think is that we want to escape to this heavenly reality that this prayer talks about. And a lot of the time, maybe most of the time, and you may find this true for yourself, that in this part of the prayer, I am lulled into thinking more about heaven than about the earth, the place where we actually reside in time and space and where future generations will make home. And what we do is we set our gaze upon heaven and ignore or at least gloss over the fact that this prayer makes the petition that it is on this earth, on earth, that which we seek the heavenly reality. And there's a lot to be said and a lot to think about on this idea. But let me offer a few thoughts. First of all, I think it's really amazing that in Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer, his orientation was to the earth. And I don't think I've ever read or said or taken seriously the prayer in this way. We usually have visions of heaven with the pearly gates where we leave this earth and all of its issues and all of our pains and all of our tears to go to another heavenly realm. But instead of an orientation towards separation, Jesus' prayer, the Lord's Prayer in this section, seems to marry the heavenly realm with the earthly. Now, in the Philippians passage that talks about our citizenship in heaven, chapter 3, I think it's had a problematic application for many modern day Christians. We take that passage to mean that we belong to a different place, thereby leaving behind this earth, when it's really talking about belonging to a different reality on the earth. And we have to take note of that in this section of the Lord's Prayer, that Jesus is not turning his attention away from the earth, but his orientation is actually to the earth, on earth as it is in heaven. In talking about Jesus' orientation to the earth in this part of the prayer, noted biblical scholar and theologian N.T. Wright says this: "This is the ultimate rejection of all types of Gnosticism, of every worldview that sees the final goal as a separation of the world from God, of the physical from the spiritual, of earth from heaven." In other words, N.T. Wright is talking about the inseparability of heaven and earth in this part of the Lord's Prayer. In an interesting way, this aligns with our understanding of the incarnational Jesus, who is God dwelling among us on earth. In a real sense, Jesus is the embodiment of on earth as it is in heaven. And I don't think I've ever thought about this section of the prayer in this way. And I wonder, how does knowing this orientation in this prayer shape our faith? Some people still hold to the view that the earth and heaven are wholly separated realms for God. And this has dangerous consequences. In these days, I get the impulse to want to escape, as I've talked about. But by being escapist in our prayers, we don't take seriously that the issues on earth and in our communities are real and consequential and are on the heart of God. One of the ways this shows up is in the way that the church has historically ignored issues of care for creation. If you believe heaven is your final destination, then whether our forests burn to the ground or our water is full of lead, it doesn't matter to you. In this view, the world can be used like a disposable cup because it just doesn't matter to us. When we hold this kind of perspective, and as long as we in America like to say preserve our way of life, it doesn't take a lot to go the distance and consider people disposable too. By the way, why preserve anything if you hold to this view? And what makes us think that holding this view means that we can preserve our way of life at the expense of others' ways of life? Now, some believe that the issues are real, but they're resigned to the idea that we are too far gone and that we should just wait for Jesus to start things all over again. In fact, in this view, heaven is the do-over. But Jesus doesn't talk about wiping the slate clean and starting over in this new reality. Rather, Jesus is working towards the redemption of all creation, making things right towards shalom. But believing in this way of being resigned to the idea that we're too far gone, in this way of thinking, we offer lackluster and faithless ministry. For in this view, we care little about the condition of our world. Our evangelism is reduced to an exercise of piety and less an act of loving care for our communities. This is a failure to heed the call to make the gospel fully alive, a phrase that we like to repeat in our church community. We commit ourselves to temporary band-aid solutions in this thinking that are often more salve to our own suffering egos than solutions to addressing systemic issues that cause pain and suffering and injustice in our world. No, the incarnational Jesus didn't incarnate because he was going to start all over again, but because he was going to do a new thing in our midst on earth. The other problem is the individualization of our faith. For if heaven is wholly separate, a wholly separate place, then I'm really in it for myself and the people that I like, because I get to leave this God-forsaken place. The consequences of a faith that's individual and holds to this view is this: that we forget that God didn't forsake this place or our communities at all. The evidence, again, is in the incarnate Jesus, God with us. God is making a choice and a decision to be with us wherever we find ourselves. The movement of God throughout the Bible is to bring things together rather than to separate. And when we forget this, we forego the call to redemptive ministry in the place where we find ourselves. This kind of thought about the place where we find ourselves and the redemption of it reminds me of the Old Testament passage in Jeremiah 29. where God is talking to the exiled Israel in Babylon, and he's saying, you're going to be here for a minute. So I want you to build houses and build families and have sons and daughters and multiply and do not decrease. And he says this in verse 7, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. We are here, church, in this place. Yes, in Burien, Seattle, Shoreline, Renton, Linwood, and wherever you find yourself, we are here. And God wants to work through you to make your place reflect the shalom of heaven. Sometimes the church, yes, the Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, liberal, conservative, Protestant, Catholic, Baptist, and most certainly Presbyterians, yes, the church, has often done more harm by being the hands and feet of Jesus while dispossessing themselves and separating themselves from the heart and mind of Jesus, who, by the way, was working towards shalom on earth. Not in heaven, because let's just use logic. Heaven doesn't need shalom, because heaven is the place where shalom is already a reality. And so when we pray on earth as it is in heaven, we pray that it is on this earth that heaven's shalom is also a reality. If your version or vision of heaven is absent of death, disease, poverty, pandemic, or any number of injustices, then you cannot at once pray this prayer and at the same time ignore the unheavenly realities of things on this earth and in our communities. Rather, to pray this prayer is both a petition for God's shalom for our world and a commitment to work for shalom in our communities. Our great residential theologian, pastor, leader, the Reverend Lena Thompson said this a couple weeks ago. Our prayers are not to be disembodied from the time, nor the place, I would add, that we live in. On earth as it is in heaven. Lakeby, let's make this prayer our prayer and our work in our world. Amen.